to talk a little bit about the concept of dinim derabanan, of mitzvahs derabanan, of isurim derabanan, and the interaction with each other and the interaction with principles in the Torah in general. There is a major machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban as to where the koach of Chazal to make gezeiros comes from. And they attack each other, they have kashas on each other, and even after the kashas, each one leaves a little bit, needs to be resolved. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, understands the significance of the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim to be that Chazal have the power to make gezeiros. The pasuk tells us that when you don't know what to do, ki yipaladim chadavar, you don't know how to behave, you're trying to follow the Torah, but you don't know what you're supposed to do. So you should go to the chachamim of your generation, and you should ask them. And then when they tell you, so loisaser mikol adavar asher yagidu l'chayom min esmol, you shouldn't deviate from that which they tell you, not to the right or to the left. So says the Rambam, that we see from here that you are obligated, you are bound to follow the rulings of the rabbis. So therefore, if the rabbis want to make a new gezeira, if they feel that they have what to enact that will keep Judaism safer, so they can do that, and you're obligated to listen to them. So what the Torah says, loisaser, you're not allowed to deviate from what they tell you. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban disagrees on a couple of levels. One has to do with the interpretation of the pasuk. That reading the pasukim straight, reading the context straight, so one could have said that the pasuk only tells us that there is, if you want to use the model of the American system, the American governmental system, that the rabbis have judicial authority. The same way the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution, and they're not allowed to make new laws. They can only tell you what they claim is in the Constitution. So too, that's what the pasuk seems to be suggesting is going on here, that you have the Torah, and you're supposed to be able to follow the Torah. But occasionally there'll be something that you don't know what the Torah is telling you. So the Torah says, you should ask the Chachamim, they'll tell you what's going on. And their authority is binding, that when you ask them, they tell you that's what it is, so you're mechuyev to listen. But where do you see from there that there's also legislative authority? And where do you see that you can also make up new laws? That's not necessarily suggested by the context. So that is one of the questions that the Ramban would necessarily come from in arguing with the Rambam. Just interpreting the context. The context seems to suggest that we're talking about judicial authority, and that's the way the Ramban understands it. And the fact that the Rambam is going to extend this to legislative authority together with judicial authority, that's more of a chiddush, and we don't necessarily see that in the context. And indeed, it seems to be a machlokus in the Gemara, in the Sacha Shabbos, in Daf of Gimel and Aleph. So there the Gemara asks about the Nusach HaBracha, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, that when we make a bracha on Neres Chanukah, so we say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu, that we express how we were commanded to light Neres Chanukah, and the Gemara says, Heichon tzivanu, so where exactly do you see that? Where in the Torah were we instructed to light Neres Chanukah? It's not true, that came later, the rabbis instructed us upon that. So the Gemara gives two answers. One answer is Lo Saser, like the Rambam says, and the other answer, in the name of Reb Nachman, is a pasuk of Sha'alavicha v'yageidcha. It's a different pasuk. So that doesn't go all the way to express the Ramban's opinion. But apparently the machlokus in the Gemara seems to be around this pasuk of Lo Saser. Is it indicating legislative authority as well as judicial authority? Or does it just mean that they can tell you what Pshat Nechumash is and they can't go any further? The machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban may also reflect itself in Machlokas about Zakin Mamre, and we've been in the Torah of Zakin Mamre, that if you have a member of the Sanhedrin that paskins against the Sanhedrin, so he is a Chayiv Misa for that. And the Rambam writes in Mamrim, in Parak Dalet Halacha Aleph, that this is true even if he's only arguing on a Gezerah. It doesn't have to be necessarily a din that's in the Chumash itself, but even if it's a Gezerah, so that that also could make him eligible for Misa. While the Mishnah Melech quotes points to the Kesef Mishnah and others that seem to observe that the Ramban doesn't think this is obvious at all. By the way, this machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rambam's comments are in Hilchos Mamrim, as we mentioned before, But the Ramban's comments are going more in the Shrashim and Sefer HaMitzvahs, where the Rambam spells that as well, in Shorosh Aleph. So that's where the Ramban's comments can be found. So this point seems to also be disputed between them, the question of whether or not one is eligible to be called Zakin Mamre if his machlokis with the rest of Chachamim is on an issue that's not explicit in Chumash, but is actually a gezeira of, and it shouldn't say explicit, not in Chumash at all, but is a gezeira of Chazal. So basically, do we consider these gezeiras to be an extension of the authority of Chazal to Paskin and Dinim the Torah? Apparently Rambam's going to say it's all one thing, that just as Zakei Mamre becomes Zakei Mamre by arguing in Hadapaskin and Dinei Chumash, so too he becomes Zakei Mamre by arguing in the Gezeiros. It's all part of this function. And the Ramban would not necessarily recognize this as part of this Sanhedrin function that makes one eligible to be a Zakei Mamre. In any case, as far as the questions that the Ramban asks in the Rambam, so there are a number of questions. Some of them revolve around the text, and it's going to be Daf Yomi in a few days, Brachas Daf Yutes in the days, where there the Gemara has a line that really could be read either way, could be read as a raya for either one, that the Gemara says that Kol Milei de Rabbanan Asmachu Hu Akra Lo Sasa, that all of the dinim of Chazal, dinim of the Chachamim, were attached to the pasuk of Lo Sasa. That's a raya that could go either way, because on the one hand, one could read that Gemara very literally and say that Dinim D'Rabbanan are related to this Pasuk through an Asmachta. In other words, that's not necessarily a Pashup Shatnam in the Pasuk, but rather this is an Asmachta, where you're using this Pasuk to remember it, and really this Pasuk does not give us the legislative authority of Chazal. While others won't necessarily take that Asmachuhu word so literally, and will assume that the Gemara is saying like the Rambam, saying that this Pasuk of Lo Sasa is the source for Dinim of Chazal. So that's another one of the issues, one of the proof texts that's cited. But beyond that, the Ramban has a number of kashas which all share the same point. And that has to do with the fact that we distinguish and practice between Dinim Darais and Dinim Darabanan. We do this in a number of ways, but perhaps the most famous and the most dominant way in which we distinguish is in the area of Safek. We have a rule, Safek Darais L'Chumra, and Safek Darabanan L'Kula. And if that's true, so how could we make such a distinction? If really all of the Dinim D'Rabbanan are extensions of Dinim in the Torah, that we are obligated through the Torah to listen to all of the Dinim D'Rabbanan, so how can we distinguish in practice? How can we say that the Reis is we go L'Chumra, while D'Rabbanan is we're going to go L'Kula? What's the difference if it's all coming from Lo Sasa? In fact, it's not only that there shouldn't be a difference, but we should treat the Rabbanans more machmir-like because they're all lavin. Maybe we should say that a mitzvah the Rabbanan is more chomer than a mitzvah the Raisa, because a mitzvah the Raisa as an assay will be one thing, but a mitzvah the Rabbanan will be a function of lo saser, will be a lo saser. So maybe for that reason we should not only not distinguish to make the Rabbanans lakula, we should make them more machmir. So that's the thrust of these questions that the Ramban asks. So there are a number of approaches, and the approaches that we'll discuss basically break down into two areas, two schools of thought. One school of thought we'll call the Kach Tiknu school of thought. That there is an approach which itself, as we'll see, breaks down into two basic approaches. That yes, it's true that in theory, Dinim D'Rabbanan should have the Chumra equal to or more so than Dinim D'Rais. However, the rabbis built in to their Gezeiros that they will be leniently treated. That in other words, the fact that we go L'Kula by Dinim D'Rabbanan is because they were set up that way. But yes, you're right, that in theory it could have been not that way, it could have been that Dinim D'Rabbanan would be L'Hachmer as well, but Chazal set it up that their halachas should be L'Kula. Now, why would that be? So that you have two basic strands, two basic theories. On the one hand, you have those who say the reason they do this is because of Baal Tosef. This is particularly, if you understand, if you're following a Rambam position. So Baal Tosef in general is a little bit of a mysterious isser that we don't totally know what the gather of Baal Tosef is. Mishonim have very, very different opinions. You have an isser d'oraisa that has such a a variance in views as to what the basic thrust is, but the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam takes the view, he uses the example of chicken and milk. He says, chicken and milk is an issa d'rabbanim. We assume that in HaTorah one is only forbidden to cook meat and milk, and chicken and milk is a d'rabbanim. Actually, the Rambam says chicken and milk cooking is not even a d'rabbanim. Eating chicken and milk is a d'rabbanim. So, says the Rambam, that's fine, the rabbis have the ability to make such gezeiros. Even though, parenthetically, it's always been a kasha that Svarim have dealt with, if the Torah says, Bal Tosif, you're not allowed to add on to the Torah, so why are the rabbis allowed to give us new mitzvahs? Isn't that apparently what the words mean? Don't add on to the Torah? So here's where the Rambam says, yes, in theory that is a risk, and that's why the rabbis have to be clear that what they are instituting is a din d'rabbanan. That if they were to say that this din is a din min ha-Torah, that would put them in violation of Bal Tosif. Which is a very understandable position. Right? Because if you don't say like this, so then one could go to such extremes to say any rule anyone puts into place is Bal Tosif. Right? If the university says you can't cook in your dorm room, that's Bal Tosif. Clearly that's not the case, so why is that not Bal Tosif? Not Bal Tosif because no one's pretending that's part of the Torah. That's clear that's a different system. So too, the rabbis, they can make new rules. They have motivations to make new rules. But they have to make clear that it's not, that we're not trying to pass it off as part of the Chumash. So the problem comes not in the making of a rule, but in the pretense that this is something that is included within the Torah itself. So that's something the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim. And some Svarim suggest that is addressed through the mechanism of Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula and other things like that. The fact that our attitude towards Dinam D'Rabbanan is more lenient, that in itself helps to make it clear that we're dealing with two different things, especially if you're living in a Beis Medrash, if you're living in the world of Lamdas, and we're always talking about, oh, this Din we're makel because this is D'Rabbanan, and we apply this rule, apply that rule because of D'Rabbanan, so then that certainly creates an awareness that we're dealing with a different level, and therefore that helps to address the issue of Bal Tosif. So that is one version of the Kach Tiknu theory, that Chazal set it up that way intentionally, on purpose. They limited the scope of their own gezeiros because they wanted to avoid Bal Tosif. Yeah?
Because they wanted to avoid Bal Tosif, or because that was really what the halakha was in the first place?
You
assume that the Pasuk wouldn't tell them to do something that would allow them to violate
the Pasuk. Mm-hmm. So they would have been impossible for
right.
them to? That's not suggested. I think that's not indicated by this idea, because the whole point, the whole thrust of the question is that since we are bidden to listen to Chazal, so then the Mela, within this view, and others will say differently, but within this view, the question is prompted by the fact that if we have to listen to Chazal, and that's a mitzvah in the Torah, and the mitzvah in the Torah is Safek L'Hachmir, so then following the ingredients, you're going to come out Safek L'Hachmir by the Din of the Rabbanan. So the response that this is suggesting, they would be over Bal Tosif if they didn't make it clear. So one way in which they'll make it clear. No, because it wouldn't necessarily. You have to go a few steps in order to get that. The point is that just the way the mechanics of the law would work is that this would be followed stringently. However, because there's a need to clarify things, so the rabbis built into their instituted gezeiros that there should be something that advertises that they're later institutions, and therefore making this part of the rules would advertise it. Maybe it could be you could advertise it a different way.
And just
the
decision to replay with everything. Right. They couldn't have really done it on level.
I don't know, maybe they would have been able to have some other type of
tactic. Would have been something with some type of apple would have applied to something else.
Maybe,
okay.
Yeah. Right. Either way, it wouldn't have forced them to violate the issue. They would have had to deal with it some way. Maybe this would be the only way to deal with it, but that would be still two steps removed. In any case, that's one possible reason for the Kach Tiknu theory. Another possible reason for the Kach Tiknu theory is that if we assume that, by and large, the function of Din and Drabbanan, or many of them, is to be a gzeira. So then that's something that's different from something that is inherently a problem. And this is something we'll get into more, especially as we get into the famous nesivus that we keep referring to. But if you have something that's really in itself a problem, so then you're going to want to stay away from that completely. And you're going to want to stay away from something that even looks like that. Or something that may be that, but you're not 100% sure. That's actually what I'm saying. Something that might be this object, but you're not 100% sure about it. So you're going to want to stay away from it completely. But if something we know is not the thing, but we know it's there to protect something else, so then it could be that you have enough of a protection if you just deal with the definite circumstances. And that's how some Achronim say it, that since the point is a gzera, so Dayan, it was enough for them to ask for the Vados, that we have enough of the gzera through staying away from situations that are definitely what they're talking about. Yeah, we don't have to, for example, you want to say that Chazal addressed intermarriage through creating an Isser of Bishalakam. So, okay, so Bishalakam itself is a fence for intermarriage. But it doesn't mean that you have to then have such a fence that you're going to include every suffix Bishalakam. That's not necessarily going to contribute any more to the fence. Enough of the fence that when you know you have Bishalakam, to stay away from it. So that would be the basic second school of thought. Second, within the Kach Tiknu. Outside of the Kach Tiknu, there's another approach as well that's found in many Sfarim, perhaps most famously in the Meshech Chachma. And the Meshech Chachma uses a mashal where he compares the situation to a king who has princes. So the king has authority over the country, and the king says, you have to do this, you have to do that, so you have to listen to the king. And the king says, I have a prince, I have a son who I think is a good guy, and he knows what he's doing, and I'm putting him in charge of this section of my kingdom, and you have to listen to him. Okay, so you have to listen to this prince. And the reason you have to listen to the prince is because the king told you. But it doesn't mean that every word that the prince says, it's as if the king is saying it. It means that overall, the fact that we're listening to this prince at all is because the king told us to. But it's a big leap to say that that means that every word that the prince is saying, it's as if it's coming out of the king's mouth. That's clearly not true. So too, we could say that yes, the Rambam is correct. There is a chiyuv min haTorah to listen to what the rabbis say. That's the chiyuv of Loisasa. But it doesn't necessarily mean that all the mitzvahs that we have, the Rabbanan, are going to be treated like mitzvahs d'oraisa. That's still a different category. So these are some of the approaches that are used to defend the Rambam against the Ramban's problems. And the fact is, if you want to say the Ramban wins, and you want to take his version, so you have pretty big problems as well. Because if we don't take the Rambam, we take the Ramban, so then we're left with a very glaring question of why do we have to listen to the Rambans? Where does the Koach of Chazal come from? And part of the difficulty is that it's not enough to say, well, if it's not Lo Yisaser, we'll pick a different Pasuk, because as we see, the whole nature of some of the Ramban's questions is that it can't really be any Pasuk. Because any pasuk, if it's going to be, you're going to have the same questions of Sveka Dereis Vulchomer, if that bothers him with Lo Yisaser, it'll bother him with other psukim as well. So that puts us in a difficult position. Some suggest that there's a type of neder, that Klal Yisrael accepted a neder to listen to these principles, each one independently, by accepting every individual Dindra Rabbanan, and it's kind of binding on Klal Yisrael as a whole. That would explain some things. That would explain the fact that the Gzeira Shein HaTzibur Yachol Amar Bo doesn't take. That occasionally Klal Yisrael does reject the Gzeira that doesn't seem to find its footing, doesn't last. So that does support a theory that basically Klal Yisrael decides to accept what is being promulgated by the rabbis. And once they do that, so then they have kind of a neder type relation to it. This Iris Tshuva has a Tshuva in which he expresses, he doesn't think technically this makes sense, because it would still be possible to get rid of it. There are those who are not so into this theory, but that's one version that's out there. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, which is printed in the Kovit Shiurim. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a discussion about this, and he points out that we can't use Psukim because we have the same problem. That we know if you can use a different pasuk, you'll have the same problem as you have with Losasa. He says you can't really use a Svara either because the problem with the Svara is that the Gemara says, Lama likra Svaru sometimes. Sometimes the Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk? I have a Svara. A Svara is as good as a pasuk. So if a Svara is as powerful as a pasuk, so then whatever problems you have by using a pasuk as the Makar pulls into Chazal, you'll have the same problems with using a Svara. So we're really, to take the Ramban's position, we really have a hard time trying to figure out why we have to listen to Chazal. So Rabbi Chanan suggests that this has to do with an attitude you find in some Gemaras, for example, Gemara Yuval Mustaf Tanach Beis, that is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. You find other comments referring to Chazal in general, that Moshe did certain things, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with him. So basically, suggests to Bechanan that we have reason to believe that what the rabbis put into play, that is the Ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that could come from two angles. On the one hand, it could be because they are especially perceptive to what is the Ratzon Hashem, even the things that aren't explicit in Chumash. And therefore, Chazal are letting us in on the fact that there are things that are not explicit in the Torah that are still consistent with Ratzon Hashem. Or you could come at it from the other direction, that it wasn't necessarily something that was part of the Ratzon Hashem inherently, but since the rabbis put into play, and we have these expressions in Chazal that Kadosh Baruch Hu agrees with what the rabbis are doing, so it becomes Ratzon Hashem because that's what Chazal have instituted. In any event, what you have here is a situation where you're being clued in that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would like this, and therefore that presents a very strong compulsion that we should behave in that way. I've often heard the Bashechter use the context, I don't know if he's necessarily explaining this approach or suggesting a different approach, but he's often invoked the concept of Avas Hashem in explaining this notion, that we are bidden to show love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So too, if you love your parents, so your parents ask you to do things, so you're going to do what they want. That's Kibud Av V'Em, you're going to do the things they ask you for. But if you really love your parents, you're really in tune, so you look out for the things that they don't ask for. You look out for the things that you know, since you love them and you care about them, so you realize that there are things that they want and there are things that will make them happy. And you don't need them to ask you. You'll do them anyway because that's how you express your Abba for your parents. So too, if we're bidden to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu and we can read between the lines, I mean, Rabbi Sheth always says, so the people who know the lines the best are the ones who are able to read between the lines. So Chazal, the biggest Chachmei HaTorah, who are the biggest experts in the lines, so they know what's between the lines, they have the best sense of what's there, and they're cluing us in, that there are other things that we could be doing that are also part of the Ratzon HaBari. So therefore, our Avos Hashem is going to push us in that direction as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and his Chuvis, Mincha Shlomo, and Chelik Beis, and Simon Nim Gimel, Osalef, so he expresses a theory, which you also find in some Achronim. And this is a position that is sometimes applied to the Rambam and sometimes applied to Ramban. So we'll mention it here and we'll take it from there, that Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, and we'll see this is similar to what we just said in the Rambam from the Mashal Chachma, that basically we can't say that there's no makar in the Torah to listen to Chazal, because then again, why do we have to listen to Chazal? So it must be that the Ramban agrees that there is a makar in the Torah to listen. And he agrees, really, that Losasa is the makar. The difference between the Rambam and the Ramban is that the Ramban understands that Losasa creates an umbrella kind of concept, just that we have to have a general obligation to listen to Chazal, and doesn't attach itself to the specific mitzvos to make them into actual mitzvos. While the Rambam has a more direct understanding of it, that each individual din becomes like a din in the Torah. And of course, as we just said, the Mashal Chachma just said what Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying in the Ramban, and Mashal Chachma really said a very similar thing in the Rambam. But and there also are other indications that the Rambam doesn't really have such a literal view or such a direct view of how this process works. Because, for example, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, in Parak Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel, that it's picking up on discussion mentioned earlier concerning the bracha that you make on Mitzvahs Rabbanan. So the Rambam writes, so we say brachas on Mitzvahs, and if a mitzvah is drabanan, so like Mikra Megillah, or Habakkuk Neir Shabbos, Neir Hanukkah, so we make a bracha on that as well. And the intent of this bracha, he explains what it means. When we say Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu, what we really mean to say is Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu, to listen to those who told us to do this. So there it seems to be pretty explicit, and the aim, commenting on the Smagnos Chanukah, says differently, says that really we are to view these dinim as specific mitzvahs, and that's what the bracha means. But the Rambam, by contrast, is saying pretty explicitly that there's a mitzvah to listen to Chazal, and that's what gives us these other obligations. So when we say Akir Sher Kishon Mitzvot V'Tzivanu, we are acknowledging Chazal's influence, which manifests itself in these dinim. This also would be negated to the question, which is also machlokus between the Rambam and the Smag, as to whether or not, when you count the Tariq Mitzvahs, did you count dinim d'rabbanan or not, which the Rambam doesn't do. And again, that it really indicates, more like the Meshech Chachma's version, that really the Rambam himself holds the way Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying the difference in the Rambam and the Ramban, that there's a general concept of listening to Chazal, and then everything else falls into place through that. So that does get us into the point that we allude to so often here, and we want to address head-on now, the notion that many Achronim have, that Dinim D'Rabbanan are distinct from Dinim D'Araisa, in that Dinim D'Rabbanan cannot be Isurei Chatzah. That the way this theory works is that when the Torah prohibits something, so God